Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. As the crisis on Rikers Island deepens with the 11th inmate death this year coming Sunday night, New York State Attorney General Letitia James and the District Attorneys of Brooklyn, the Bronx, and Queens visited the jail complex in person yesterday, and we're very happy that Brooklyn DA Eric Gonzalez is joining us now to describe what he saw and discuss how to end the deadly neglect and ongoing sick out by correction officers that are contributing to the crisis. What can a prosecutor do to help? DA Gonzalez, we really appreciate your time at this busy and very fraught time. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you. And, you know, first, I want to say the name of the inmate who died. He was 42-year-old Isabdul Karim. I also want to say that he was reincarcerated at Rikers, from what I read, merely for missing appointments with his parole officer and smoking marijuana, which was a parole violation. He had been out on parole without other incident, according to press reports, since 2018. His original crime was also a nonviolent drug charge, I gather, selling cocaine. And he apparently caught COVID and died from it from the overcrowded conditions at Rikers. Is all of that consistent with your understanding of that case?
It is, and it's consistent with the visit that we had yesterday with our attorney general. We saw a lot of, you know, men. We were in a men's prison. We saw a lot of men who were put into very crowded cells when they were waiting for intake onto the island, meaning the process of getting them screened and put onto the island. And so they're waiting there, and they're sort of being quarantined in place under conditions that, you know, are heartbreaking. Listen, I've visited Rikers Island many times in my career. I've gone to upstate prisons. They're always difficult visits to see people detained behind bars, especially with the racial dynamics that exist in our jails and prisons. But under the dire conditions that are existing right now in Rikers Island, this was an especially difficult visit.
Was this Abdul Karim a Brooklyn case? Did you prosecute him originally?
No, he was not. He was not. But we do have in Brooklyn about 55 people currently in on $1 bail based on a parole hold. And so we're working very diligently to, they would not be on the island, but for the parole hold, and they have a dollar bail. And so these are the types of cases that I think I can make a difference on getting people like that, like those off the island who are being held on $1 bail because they have a pending parole hold.
I don't understand what $1 bail means. I've never heard that term before. Presumably anybody can afford $1. So what does that mean?
It means that their hold is not really based on the new case. They get a dollar bail set on the criminal charge so that whatever time they spend on Rikers Island can count towards their time, you know, incarcerated. But they really should not be on the island. They don't have active bail on the case, but yet they're counted in on the pretrial detainees.
On the case of Mr. Karim, can you explain to me and the listeners, how can smoking marijuana be a parole violation worthy of incarceration at all if smoking marijuana is legal in New York now?
Right. I don't know the facts of the parole violation, but as you know, Brian, I've been very critical for a long time. I think I was the first DA in New York State to actively support less is more and to fight to prevent technical violations from landing people onto Rikers Island in the first place. Most people who have a technical violation are looking at 15 to 30 days, you know, sort of punishment for violating their parole, but they'll be on the island for, you know, 90 days to 120 days before they can get a parole hearing. less is more is how we prevent that from happening again. And it's, you know, we also want to make sure that we're focusing in on the infection rates at Rikers Island. They're higher than they are in the general public right now, and that's another concern. But less is more is how you prevent that from happening. People who miss court, you know, appearances with their parole officer, their latent appointment, or they get tested for some banned substance, they don't need to be on Rikers Island at that point.
But just so I understand the marijuana piece, can somebody, as a condition of parole, be prohibited from possessing or smoking marijuana even though it's legal?
I believe the answer is yes, because they can be banned from drinking alcohol. They can be banned from conducting all kinds of conduct that's otherwise legal. For example, many of our parolees are banned from driving, although they can get a license and drive legally. It's a condition that's being put on them. And that's another conversation, things that we may think are no longer make a lot of sense. But yes, you can tell someone who's on parole not to do things that other people have the liberty to do.
That's interesting about the driving. Do people who get prohibited from driving do so because they're in for some kind of vehicular-related crime?
Not necessarily. Sometimes they're banned from driving because the parole officer wants to be able to keep better tabs on them. I've seen people sent back to Rikers Island because they've received a speeding ticket, and when the parole officer learns about the ticket or the traffic stop, says, "Oh, you didn't have my permission to drive," and they've been violated, a technical violation, sent back to Rikers because they were driving to work. And one sort of well-known case where a person was driving someone to the hospital, got pulled over. The officer learned they were on parole, let them go, but did alert their parole officer that they had stopped them from driving, and that person was later reincarcerated for a technical violation. And those are the kind of things that, you know, why I support it, less is more.
Now, listeners, we invited calls from people incarcerated on Rikers Island on Monday, and we got one from inside and one from somebody who had just been released. We renew that invitation today. If you're in Rikers yourself or recently got out, or more broadly, if you have any personal or professional connection to people or the situation there, we invite you to call in for Brooklyn DA Eric Gonzalez with your observations or your questions at 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280, or tweet at Brian Lehrer. DA Gonzalez, there was an article about you on Monday in Brooklyn Paper with the headline, DA still sending some defendants to Rikers despite jail's chaos. True headline about you?
Well, since I've taken office, we've really reduced when we ask for bail. And I know there have been calls for DAs not to send anyone to Rikers Island under any circumstances. And I think that, you know, we need to really address that issue. My office does its best to make sure that the people we're sending to Rikers Island, there's a strong rationale for it. There are about 300 people on the island right now that have homicide-related charges. Approximately 150 people are there for rape or sexual assault. 100 or so are there for domestic violence. Another 100 are there for gun crimes. And so while I strongly believe decarceration is going to be an important and key way that we reduce violence and deal with the problems on the island, we also need to be honest in our conversations with what are we going to do with these people who have committed such serious crimes, allegedly, are going to be held on those cases, are going to be tried. In a lot of these cases, especially in our homicide cases, a lot of our, you know, the detained people have already demonstrated a willingness to flee. Many of my homicide cases, people are arrested in other states after months of looking for them because they know that there's, you know, significant consequences. They're looking at lifetime in jail. And so we need to have other conversations about how we reduce the population. You know, and I'm working very hard to do that during COVID, I reduced the population in Brooklyn by about 25%, which is about 350 people. We're starting that process again, looking about who we can release safely now. We're looking at low bail amounts. We're looking at people who are medically vulnerable. We're looking at people who would be looking at some kind of programming as opposed to upstate jail sentences. So there's a lot that I can do to reduce the population, but we take it very seriously when we're asking for bail. We're asking for bail on cases where this person is likely to flee, and there's a significant public safety reason for our request.
Well, I understand why you're saying people in some cases need to be sent there, homicide cases, people who might flee. But advocates have started calling at least for intake limits, limits on the number of new people who can be sent to Rikers at this time as an emergency response, because the intake area is so overcrowded, and that's apparently where Mr. Kareem may have caught COVID. Do you support that?
I do. I mean, I do, and that's sort of what we're doing. I was told yesterday there were about 40 people in the intake on Rikers Island. And so, you know, new cases that came in yesterday, we have to pay attention. And I think, you know, the same way I went to visit Rikers Island, I think it's important that judges and other people who have the ability to send and set bail on these cases are visiting as well.
We have some calls coming in and more to cover with Brooklyn DA Eric Gonzalez. We'll continue in a minute. Brian Lehrer on WNYC with Brooklyn District Attorney Eric Gonzalez as we talk about the crisis on Rikers Island with, among many other things, an 11th inmate just this year having died there on Sunday. And tragically, somebody who would have been eligible for release under the bill that Governor Hochul signed this week called Less is More, because he was only reincarcerated on technical violations of his parole, but because of the overcrowded conditions there, he caught COVID and died in jail. And that's one of the most tragic manifestations, because somebody died, of what's going on at Rikers. But you've probably heard the horror stories about the chaos there, about people being beat up there, about people not being able to get to doctors there, and everything else. And DA Gonzalez, if you don't mind, we had a caller on Monday, a guy in his 60s, who spoke to the legal aid attorney who was our guest on Monday about not being able to get medical care. And I see he's calling in again, and I'm going to take his call again. And so here is Nathaniel on Rikers Island. Nathaniel, you're on WNYC. Hello again. Nathaniel, you're on the air. We got you.
No, this is not Nathaniel. This is Jettison Bradshaw, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, we had you as Nathaniel. So you're somebody else. Are you at Rikers? Are you calling from inside? So I apologize.
Yes, I'm calling from Rikers Island. That's all right.
I apologize. The line came up as if you were the same caller from Monday. So go ahead. What would you like to say or ask the district attorney?
All right. Eventually, I've been arrested since February 23rd. All right, and I had my arraignment in April 15, and according to the law, the DA have 15 days after my arraignment to hand over my discovery. So apparently, I was supposed to go to court on May 18, and the DA speak to my lawyer, and they come up with an agreement. I never went to court, and the DA told my lawyer that they was going to hand over my discovery if she didn't let me know who some witnesses. So apparently I went to court on July 8th. I was in Brooklyn all day. I haven't seen nobody. My attorney contacted the district attorney, and she told my lawyer that they was going to send over my discovery the next day, which was July 9th. And my lawyer called him July 9th. They ignored my lawyer. My lawyer told him that, I mean, she emailed them and tell them that she was going to send put in a motion for my discovery. So I had court yesterday, 21st, and I was downstairs waiting for court for 12:30 up until 1:30, and the DA never logged in. My lawyer was there, I was there, and get to find out that the DA said that they had internet problems, and they finally sent over my discovery. No, what I want is I would like to have an early court date, because they actually put my court date on October 19th, which is my wife's birthday, and I don't really like that. So, and the over the line, I really can't hear what they're saying properly over that telephone. So I would like to know if I could get an earlier court date, and I don't think it's right for them to actually not send over my discovery when they're supposed to, and then use an excuse about they had internet problems.
Let me get you a response from the DA and DA Gonzalez. Of course, I don't know if you're familiar with the caller's individual case. He also seems to point up some systemic problems, which we'll get to. But first, what can you say to him?
Well, I would encourage you to have your attorney reach out to reschedule a court date. That's usually fairly easily done. But again, he's pointing out a real problem within the system, which is, you know, it's so bad in terms of production that people are not being produced to their court date. So there's no reason that this man should not be afforded the opportunity to come to court and be present in the courtroom. And yet here he's trying to dial in from a correctional facility to see what's happening in court. We need to make sure that our court system is able to have the capacity to allow people to have their day in court. And quite frankly, what's happening on Rikers was there's been a real production issue. People are not making it to court. And there's no reason why he wasn't sent to court to deal with his case. In terms of discovery, you know, it's something that, you know, I'll have to look into the specifics of his case to make it clear when the courts have given us a period of time to handle discovery. There is obviously a lot of exceptions to those rules, depending on the nature of the case, of their protective orders. So we'll look into the exact nature of what his concerns are. I think he said he finally got the discovery, but you know, we want to make sure that these kind of, you know, institutional and systemic barriers do not prevent people from moving forward with their lives and their cases. And this is also part of the solution to Rikers, right? Because it's about reducing population. It's also about expediting the resolution of cases. And so if he's waiting for discovery to see who the witness is and whether or not he wants to take a plea bargain on the case or fight the case, we need to get that very quickly, because we're never going to get everyone off the island by releasing everyone. We actually have to resolve some of the cases as well in the court process.
Right. So if you want to leave your name and any contact information from with Inside Rikers with our producer, we can pass that on to the DA's office since it's a Brooklyn case.
Yeah, and just the name of your attorney and we can change a court date. That's usually fairly easily done.
Okay, so your name and the name of your attorney. Hang on, a producer will pick up off the air. To kind of follow up on that systemically, I want to play you a clip of Mayor de Blasio from this show on Friday and get your reaction. I asked if he would release more people from Rikers under his so-called 6A powers, health and safety protection powers, like he did at the start of the pandemic. And as you will hear in this clip, he said no and pointed instead to problems with the legal system that I'd like you to react to as a DA. Here's the mayor.
So we're not looking at 6A right now. We're looking at something that will achieve much, much more, which is these big movements we got here hundreds and hundreds of time. We're also working with the state. There are people who were supposed to be sent to state prison long ago, and it didn't move quick enough. The state is helping us to expedite. That's another several hundred people. So we're asking judges also to use supervised release more on the front end when they're sentencing if it's a nonviolent offense.
And the mayor went on to point out, as he often does, that the court system is not operating at full capacity in the pandemic, causing people to be held longer at Rikers waiting for their cases to be heard. That sounds like perhaps just what the caller was describing. Can you react to any of that from the mayor?
Well, I think, you know, in terms of people who are very close to finishing their city sentence and they're on Rikers Island, the issue on the island, there's a staffing issue, getting the correctional officers to come back to work and staff the place appropriately so that there could be safety and security. there is an overcrowding aspect as well, and we should be clear that we're not going to solve this by without addressing all of the issues. And on the overcrowding, you know, the ability to take a few hundred people out because less is more, a few hundred will be transferred to state facilities because they've already been on, you know, sentenced and they need to be taken off the island. There's a number of people who've already pled guilty, but for some reason in the court system, they have not been sentenced. We need the judges to take care of that as well. They've already pled guilty. Now they're waiting to be sentenced legally, and that would help. But in terms of releasing people to work release and other things, we have to be very honest about the public safety conversation. People who are almost done with their sentence, getting them out a few months later does not change the face of justice and does not make our city more dangerous. And I think it is a very natural approach to dealing with the overcrowding. Getting them on work release and other ways of reducing overcrowding has to be a priority. Again, as DA, I'm taking on responsibility to make sure that when my ADAs are asking for bail, that they're doing so appropriately and because, you know, justice and safety require it. But on this end of the spectrum, people who are going to be out in the next few months, we need to figure out a way of getting them out more efficiently and sooner. And I support, you know, the calls that Legal Aid and others have done to do that exactly.
I don't understand why the mayor wouldn't use his 6A powers for the right individuals in addition to all of this, to addressing all of the systemic issues. Do you?
You have to ask him, Brian, but, you know, for me, it's very clear the last time during COVID we were able to release people, the overwhelming majority did not get rearrested. There were some people who did get rearrested, but the overwhelming majority did not. And there's a way of doing this, and with focusing on safety, you can use a scalpel and really look at the people who are about to be released and get them out early.
Here's T in Westchester. T, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling in today.
Good morning. Good morning, Brian. Good morning to your listeners. Yeah, Brian, I've spoken to you like a couple years ago in Westchester when the pandemic began, just informing your listeners and Andrew Stewart Cousins about the conditions we was going through with the COVID-19. But just to touch on what's going on, I am a parole violator. I'm here on a dollar bill for a new case, which is a misdemeanor, with my girlfriend accusing me of threatening her. So it was just easy like that for her to call my parole officer and make false accusations on me. So I've been sitting in here, and my sentence was 24 months because I'm a Category 1, which is the highest category for a violent offense, with my initial charge. So with that said, is a lot of people here on parole that's sitting in here in Westchester County. I was originally on Rikers Island for the violation. I was released and came to Westchester, parole to Westchester County. So this matter, like the district attorney said, and I understand the safety of just the people that's living in society, which we are human beings too, and a lot of people make mistakes in life, but the thing is, how are we going to correct the mistakes that some of us made by not giving us and affording us the opportunity to do better, by not allowing us the opportunity to get good jobs and to be able to drive with a license, just simple things like that, that in order to go to work, you need to drive to get to work on some of these jobs. So these are some of the things they really need to really take into consideration instead of talking about it. They really need to act on it because it's actually more better economically for society to give the people that's on parole and that was formerly incarcerated that opportunity. Now, if someone commits a crime, this is why the law is here and the proper steps will be taken. But to just massive and over-incarcerate people because of a color of our skin is just horrific. It's just something that really needs to change, and it's more need to be done instead of smiling and signing bills, man. People need to really take just action now because a lot of people are going to die and continue dying. Just not on Rikers Island, all over New York State, this is happening. Extremely in Westchester County, which I really don't hear people talking about. The population here is it's very like the conditions that we are, how we are treated here with the medical. The jail is filthy. It's flooded. It's dirty. You know what I mean? The food that they give us, a lot of soy. The lawyers, you can't call your lawyers here. The phones are not free. I complained about this already. The visits, everything that's going on in here, you know, it's unsafe in here.
Is that the Valhalla facility, T?
Yes, that's Westchester County, Valhalla, New York. And it's just a shame because another thing I wanted to bring up, when people come home from jail, there's nothing to look for in Westchester County. You have a program out there called Rough Riders to the Rescue, and it's located in Yonkers, New York. It's the CEO is Joaquin Dean, and it's a program where guys can come home that's in prison and come get a job, and you have the Grayston Foundation. Well, parole is not given this information to the people that's coming home that's incarcerated for years. So you have to go into the shelter. When you get into the shelter, if you do find a job, say you find a job, you're trying to save your money so that way you can go back into society and get a room. They take your money for staying in the shelter.
Right. So, and T, I'm gonna leave it there. I appreciate all the issues that you've put on the table. And I remember when you called us a couple of years ago, when actually it was last year at the beginning of the pandemic. I remember that when Andrea Stewart Cousins was on and you were talking about the lack of access to be able to make phone calls to people's families when the pandemic was raging. And T, thank you for calling again. And I know we're running short of time, and I want to get one more caller on here, so I'm going to take her, and then Dea Gonzalez, I'll invite you to react to both as we run out of time. Jacqueline in Queens, a public defender. You're on WNYC. Hello, Jacqueline.
Hi, Dea Gonzalez. I've been a public defender in the city for 7 years. You mentioned dollar bail holds. And so, as you know, a dollar bail is triggered when someone's arrested and arraigned for a non-bail eligible crime and parole chooses to hold them into custody for a violation of their parole terms. But, you know, that's only part of the picture. So are you committed to declining to prosecute all non-bail eligible offenses that come through your early case assessment bureau so folks don't find themselves in front of a judge, you know, either with a parole hold in the first place or just unnecessarily involved in the justice system? And additionally, are you willing to bring your lower-level prosecutors on visits through Rikers Intake to see for themselves the places that they are asking a judge to send folks when they request bail?
So it's great questions, and one of the things that we are, in fact, doing is visiting, having the lawyers visit Rikers Island. I'll be back at Rikers Island next week with another group of prosecutors. The visit that I had yesterday was with our attorney general and some of the district attorneys and actually some members of the state legislature. But we are going to have a prosecutor's visit next week. I think it's super important that people see the conditions so they understand what they're doing when they're asking for jail sentences or bail. In terms of the $1 bail cases, you know, we've looked at a number of these cases during COVID last year in, 2020. We declined to prosecute a number of those cases, and the judges still didn't release people on the parole holds. The dollar bail does not necessarily mean that the judge is going to not prosecute or not, it's going to release the person on the parole hold. But we're going to take a look at all of those cases. And we're going to be very specific on the cases that we move forward on that. In terms of prior caller,
one at a time. Go ahead, DA.
The prior caller, I think it's important also to say that in Brooklyn, we have a nationally recognized reentry program that really works to prevent these things from happening. And anyone who's out there, who's recently been released or is coming home, I encourage them to reach out to my reentry program so we can make sure that we don't that we provide the support necessary so that you don't wind up reincarcerated even on a technical violation.
And Jacqueline, briefly, you had a follow-up?
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, address your answer regarding declining to prosecute. I'm asking whether you are specifically committed to declining to prosecute at the early case assessment stage before the case gets in front of a judge and before a parole hold would ever drop.
Yeah, we're going to look at it each and every case as they come in. The way you said that they were, that all of these cases were not bail eligible, that may not be accurate. Some of them may be bail eligible and the judge decides not to set bail. But we're going to take a look at each and every one of these cases.
And you know what? I'm going to extend by one brief additional caller who may not even have a question for you, D.A. Gonzalez, but we started the segment by trying to humanize and say the name and tell the story of the individual who died at Rikers Island on Sunday night, 42-year-old Isabdul Karim, who was incarcerated merely for missing appointments with his parole officer and smoking marijuana, which was a parole violation. And he caught COVID and died after he was reincarcerated from the overcrowded conditions at Rikers. And we have a caller, Abdullah in Manhattan, who says he was a friend of Mr. Karim. And Abdullah, if that's the case, what would you like to say in the last 30 seconds or so of this segment? Thank you for calling.
Hi, how you doing? My name is Abdullah. My friend is Isa Abdul Karim. May Allah have mercy on his soul and those whole, everybody that believes. May Allah have mercy on their soul. Inshallah, by the grace of Allah, today will be his funeral. But this guy was a weak man. He used a wheelchair. I mean, how violent can he be to be in jail like that? It's just a parole violation. Now we have to send his body all the way back to Africa. So I think the New York State should look into people like this and consider if they really want to lock them up or not. And is this thing happening to only people that don't have family here, or is it happening to everybody out there? Because he was an immigrant. Thank you.
Abdullah, thank you very much.
Thank you, Abdullah. And you know, my heart goes out to, you know, Mr. Karim's family and friends. And I want to, you know, callers to know that I am, you know, I was speaking to the doctors over at Correctional Health Services yesterday, and they have agreed to let me know of all high-risk people that they have currently detained on Rikers Island so that we can figure out, do they need to be there at all? And so that is a commitment that I'll make publicly, that I'm going to look at everyone that CHS sends to me saying that they don't think they can be safely kept in on Rikers Island. There's a number of people with significant health conditions. Myself and Tish James yesterday were appalled to see some of the people kept in gyms and other places that had medical conditions, and they were telling us they were not getting adequate care. So it's something I'm going to pay a lot of attention to. And Abdullah, thank you for sharing about your friend.
Well, thank you for making that announcement on the show. At least maybe that's a little bit of progress and a good way to end the segment. Brooklyn DA, Eric Gonzalez, thank you for giving us so much time today and talking to callers as well as me. Thank you very, very much.
All right. Thank you, everyone.